In the early 1980s, a group of researchers got together and designed a series of studies that have changed the way we now think about what it takes to make a relationship work. Everybody has an opinion about this, but until these studies, nobody had taken the time to systematically study what people who succeed in their relationships actually do differently than people who fail. For the first time in history, we have solid empirical evidence. What makes these studies unique is that they're long-term studies. They followed couples for up to 15 years of their lives. At this point, there's been 7 such studies, and they've studied couples at all different phases of the life cycle. In the first year of each of these studies, researchers carefully observed and measured everything that they thought could possibly be related to whether a relationship might eventually succeed or fail. They measured attitudes and communication styles, amount of anger, amount of tenderness, and dozens of other things. They put couples in apartments equipped with video cameras in every room that recorded everything they did sun up to sundown. They also asked these couples to sit down and have specific conversations about specific topics. While the couples were talking, the researchers video recorded, then later carefully analyzed the way the communication went. But they also, as the couples were talking, they took blood samples, they monitored their heart rates, and they even measured their physical movements. When the researchers were satisfied that they'd measured everything that they thought could possibly be related to the couple's eventual fate, they simply turned them loose, and then they tracked them down up to 15 years later. Which couples were still together and thriving? Which ones had split up? Which ones had stuck it out but were unhappy? Well, not only did they succeed in pinpointing the habits that distinguish people who succeed in their relationships from people who fail, but they found some habits that are so crucial that the absence of them virtually guarantees relationship failure. And they also found some of them that are so powerfully positive that the presence of them virtually guarantees relationship success. By measuring the relative presence or absence of specific habits, researchers found that they could predict the likelihood that the relationship would eventually succeed or fail with over 90% accuracy. This kind of predictive validity is virtually unheard of in the social sciences, and it's probably why these studies have drawn so much attention. Some people feel they're the best studies we have in the last 3 decades in all of the social sciences. These studies are really revolutionizing our understanding of how intimate relationships work. Before them, we were more or less shooting from the hip. Couples therapists had to proceed on the basis of what they thought couples needed, or what generally accepted theories in the field told them to do. But now, for the first time, we have scientific, empirical evidence about what couples who succeed and fail actually do differently. These studies make it clear that there are prerequisites for succeeding in a long-term intimate relationship. If you want to succeed in love, you simply have to have certain abilities, and we now know exactly what these abilities are. If you have them, the chances are really good that you'll get treated well by your partner. If you don't have them, the evidence suggests that your relationship future is pretty dim. Probably the most important thing to realize is that these are personal prerequisites. Some of the most important of them involve things that you have to be able to do without the help of your partner. They're not a group project. In fact, some of them you have to be able to do precisely at the moments when your partner's making it most difficult for you to do them. Researchers discovered that the way people react when they feel misunderstood or offended by their partners dramatically influences the odds of their partners treating them better or worse in the future. All people in long-term relationships feel misunderstood or mistreated sooner or later. When they do, some people react in ways that make it likely their partners will treat them better in the future, and some people react in ways that almost guarantee they'll be even more misunderstood or mistreated in the future. There's evidence that the way you respond to the worst in your partner plays a central role in determining whether or not you'll experience something better from him in the future. These studies suggest that most of us tend to seriously underestimate how much influence we can have on our partners. The evidence says that you can dramatically influence the way your partner treats you, regardless of whether your partner is deliberately trying to be nicer or not. This is because your partner's level of motivation has so much to do with how you treat him. When he does something you don't like, the way you react will have a huge impact on how much he becomes motivated to try and act differently in the future. This is actually good news, because if you feel consistently mistreated, you don't have to wait around hoping your partner will start treating you better. You can largely take the matter into your own hands. You can't control your partner, but you can dramatically influence the odds that he'll treat you better in the future. How? By making sure you're reacting effectively to the way he's treating you right now. It's exceedingly rare to find a situation where one partner is meeting the prerequisites when the other isn't. It doesn't always look this way, because sometimes the bad habits of one partner are more socially acceptable than the other person's. An example is where one partner flies into a rage and throws things, while the other partner immediately gives in and tries to keep the peace. In a situation like this, both partners are equally off track when it comes to meeting the prerequisites. But many people will think that the raging person is mostly to blame. But not if you know about all of the prerequisites. We find that partners in distressed relationships are usually a match for each other. Of course, partners who come in for couples therapy rarely see things this way. Inwardly, if not outwardly, each person often thinks that the other person's shortcomings are more serious than his or her own. This is because there are certain dysfunctional things that their partners do that they know they don't do themselves. What they don't realize is there are many different habits that can sink a relationship. They're focused on their partner's particular variety of dysfunction, not realizing that some of their own habits are just as powerfully corrosive to the relationship. The good news is that any partner who is able to change his or her own dysfunctional habits will usually find that their partner follows. At any rate, the bottom line is this. If you want your partner to treat you better, you need to learn to think and act like people who usually get treated well. Researchers have studied how people who are good at getting their partners to treat them well go about doing it, and we now have this information. Most of us can do what these people do sometimes, but people who succeed in their relationships do it even at those moments when they feel misunderstood or offended. Your therapist will be able to help you see exactly where you're getting off track in your relationship with your partner and can help you get back on track. When you do, you'll find that your partner will begin treating you differently. Don't get the wrong idea. Your partner probably isn't any more on track than you are. He isn't doing himself any favors either. The way he's treating you only makes it more difficult for you to treat him the way he wants to be treated, right? Hopefully, he'll be willing to work with your therapist on these things too. Your therapist will certainly try and convince him that it would be in his best interest to do so, but please realize that you, yourself, can dramatically influence the odds that he'll become motivated to work on changing the way he treats you. At our clinic, every week we talk to people who tell us stories about how badly they've been treated by their partners. After spewing the details of their mate's most recent episode of incredibly selfish or disrespectful behavior, they usually look at us as if to say, "Now how on earth am I supposed to respond to that?" Half of these people are already convinced there's no good answer to this question. In fact, they resent even having to ask it. They believe they shouldn't have to deal with this crap in the first place. But the evidence suggests that if they continue dismissing the question, they'll kiss their relationships goodbye. Why is this? Because relationship success has more to do with responding well when your partner seems selfish or inconsiderate than it has to do with actually avoiding being selfish or inconsiderate in the first place. This is a hard idea for many people to wrap their heads around. So let me clarify. It's not that selfish or disrespectful behavior doesn't matter. It does. Repetitive, selfish behavior is destructive. The problem is that you're not a very reliable judge about what truly selfish behavior is. None of us are, the reason being that there are hundreds of yardsticks for measuring selfishness, and we tend to use our own, not our partner's. For example, a wife accepts an invitation to go out with her friends on Friday night without asking her husband if it would be okay with him. The husband considers that to be really inconsiderate and feels justified in criticizing her harshly for it. But the fact is, this wife wouldn't be upset at the husband if he made similar plans with his friends without consulting her. In fact, she has a whole different idea about how relationships should ideally be. In her view, partners should be free to make other arrangements unless plans between the two of them have specifically been made. In her mind, she wouldn't dream of being so selfish as to try and restrict his freedom by asking him to consult her every time he wanted to plan something with his friends. Obviously, he doesn't see it that way. And in this situation, he let her have a piece of his mind. The problem is, if she wasn't behaving selfishly before, now she will be. In this situation, she slammed the door in his face. When he saw her later, he was sneering at her for her childish tantrum. And so the story goes. It began with the husband's perception that his wife was being inconsiderate. If he'd been able to respond differently, she may have been willing to try and understand his feelings and take them into consideration in the future. Instead, he criticizes her for being selfish. She thinks he's the one who is being selfish, trying to control her by limiting her freedom to schedule time with her friends. So who's being selfish? Marriage researchers would say that neither of them are. They have legitimately different needs. She didn't respond any better to the feeling that he was being selfish than he did to the feeling that she was being inconsiderate, and so the whole thing blew up. But it could have all been avoided if either of them knew how to stand up for themselves without putting the other person down. If you expect to get more respect from your partner, you simply must be able to do this. If you feel like you're getting treated poorly by your partner, you probably think that what needs to happen is that your partner just needs to start treating you better. It's as simple as that. But if you're not meeting the prerequisites for relationship success yourself, if you don't have the habits that are required for anyone to stand a good chance of succeeding in a relationship, even if your partner started treating you better, it's unlikely it would stay that way. It might even be that your partner isn't treating you better, in large part, because of the way you're treating him. When you're off track yourself, there's no way for you to know how much of your partner's offensive behavior is due to his inherent personality, or how much of it is a reaction to how you're treating him. You might think you're treating him better than he's treating you, but the odds are against it. You might not be doing the things that he is, but it's likely that you have your own way of being difficult in your relationship. So that brings us to the big question. Are you meeting the prerequisites for relationship success? Do you have the habits that are necessary for succeeding in an intimate relationship? Your therapist will give you an honest opinion, but you can begin figuring this out yourself by listening to the rest of this CD. In the next hour, I'm going to describe what we know about how people who get their partners to treat them well go about doing it. I'll describe in detail how people who are destined for relationship success react at those crucial moments when they feel misunderstood or offended. As you listen, it may become clear to you that you have some work to do. If it does, well, join the club. Estimates are that less than a quarter of the people in this country have the ability to succeed in their relationships. About half of us who get married eventually divorce, and estimates are that less than half of the people who stay together are really happy with their relationships. But it doesn't have to be that way. The evidence is clear. If you develop the core set of habits discovered by researchers and described in this audio series, the odds are over 90% that you'll get the kind of love and respect from your partner that you need.